Hi, welcome to today's episode of the 5 Minute Shift. Today, I am so excited to have Emily Nichols here to talk all about habit hacking. Emily, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, Stephanie, thank you so much for having me on the show. My name is Emily Nichols. I'm the host of the Habit Hack Your Health podcast, and I am a mom, a boy mom to two boys, 15 and 11. So we're preteen and teenage years around here at my house. Been married to my high school sweetheart, and we live a very, very busy life. Like I said, I'm a habit and fitness coach, and we are all the time just running our kids around. And I am at the same time coaching people in person. I'm an Orange Theory coach, but also the host of the show and coaching women to really help them habit hack their health in less time without the guilt and with a lot of grace and thinking of health a little bit differently than what we've grown up thinking about health. So yeah, I've been on this journey for the past 5 years or so. I'm super passionate about helping women just merely stop surviving the day, but really thrive and train for life.
I love that. And I love that your focus is on habits. And I'm so excited to get into the nitty gritty of habits. But I want to hear, how did you get into this specific area?
Yeah. So back in 2015, we kind of came to a fork in the road as a family, because we were at a time where my husband was working all these different shifts for work. He'd work night shifts, second shift, weekends, and his sleep was really suffering because of it. So his health was, you know, not really great as far as mentally and physically. He had always been a runner and he gained some weight at that time, and running just was hard and it just felt very stressed in our home. And me, on the other hand, I was trying to be like a Pinterest perfect mom, climbing the corporate ladder, all the things. And I was putting so much pressure on myself that I was dealing with it in really unhealthy ways, usually just emotional eating, maybe a little extra, like instead of one glass of wine, it was two or three glasses of wine, excessive online shopping, which could be an episode in itself. And we really came to a point where like, man, like we're not thriving. We are just like barely surviving the day. And I always came from the perception that working out and eating healthy meant like working out really hard to burn off whatever you ate, and eating healthy meant restricting. And I really didn't have a healthy idea of what like food freedom and movement really meant. Or if I tried to do it, I tried to do it all at once and it never worked. It never, ever worked because I was so crazy busy. So my husband's like, well, let's just start with like, you know, cleaning up like what we're eating. Let's just, you know, focus on not having processed foods for like a month. I'm like, okay, well, we can handle that. We can do it together. And we're like, let's just stick eating no processed foods for 30 days. And at the end of 30 days, I was really able to, number one, I had accountability with him, which some people can do that, some people can't with their spouse. It worked out this time for us. And I realized a lot of my habits and relationship that I had around food were really unhealthy. And I was able to kind of find the triggers and replace those unhealthy habits with healthier habits. And from there, it's kind of like, well, I feel a lot better now. I'm going to start moving my body more. And I started, you know, going to the gym or just walking outside, and eventually became a trainer as well because I loved it so much. And then I started digging deeper into personal development, listening to podcasts, listening to books, reading books. And what I came to realize over time was I've kind of created my own system to actually like make these healthy habits work in my life. And what I noticed after training folks for years as a fitness coach, I'm like, well, I feel like as women, we know what we got to do. We're like, okay, I need to move my body. I need to eat healthy. I need to talk nice to myself. But how do we do that? Like, how do we logistically do that when we're so strapped for time, where our capacity is, we're at our max capacity. And even though we know, like when I take care of myself, when I feel healthy, I have a form of self-care in my life, you know, everyone wins around me. That's usually the first thing to go though, when you are stretched to the max, is you don't take care of yourself. So I really found like we need to bridge a gap between health and how to do it in your life, but doing it from a way of I'm not dieting, I'm living a lifestyle to feel healthy in all areas of my life, and knowing that there's no guilt with that. It's not selfish, it's necessary. And in the end, everyone wins around you. So that's what I do now is, you know, through this journey, you know, this is a 7-year journey and it's been evolving. You know, I started out in the fitness industry, eventually became a behavior change specialist because I could just geek out on habits all day long. Just because I realized, you know, as women, we have to do habits differently. And there is a way to fill that gap in between living a healthy lifestyle and actually making it work in your life without it feeling restrictive or hard.
I love that. And I think your story is so relatable. I know I can relate to that. The idea of being the Pinterest perfect mom, the pressure that you put on yourself and how it can come out in these ways that you don't intend it to, that feel good in the moment, like the emotional eating or drinking that extra glass of wine, barely surviving the day. I think that that's so relatable. I really want to hear how you talk about creating your own system, right? Because you said, I need to. So many of us have that. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to eat healthy. I need to go to the gym. I need to be in bed by 9. I need to blah, 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 which feels so overwhelming and like so much pressure. So when you talk about your system of creating habits, what is that system?
Yeah. So I have a free masterclass. It's called the Healthy Habit Reset. I take folks through it live every quarter. We're actually doing it right now, but it's a free masterclass available anytime all year round. So I'll make sure to get a link for your audience for that, Stephanie. But let me take you through it because this is just basic habit strategy 101 that I've created just based off my own training, my own expertise, and like learning from clients over the years as well. So step one is to really just step back and think about who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? What are your core values and your habit identity? So identifying your habit identity is step number one and thinking about, well, what habits are going to help support the person I want to be? So maybe it's like, I want to be a patient and present mom. Okay. Well, what can help me be more patient and present? Well, you know, maybe movement this time of year, this time of season in my life, movement does because it helps me feel good mentally, physically, emotionally, all the above. Step number two is to identify what habits, what fundamental need is going to help create that habit identity. So when I say fundamental need, I'm kind of referring back to like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? We have that triangle, that pyramid, and at the bottom is your fundamental needs. So basic like food, water, sleep. A lot of things we aren't taking care of ourselves are making a priority as busy working moms. So when we try to move up that pyramid where we're having like awesome relationships, we're like having that self-actualization, there's no sturdy base of support any of those other things and move up that pyramid. So when I say fundamental needs, since I'm coming through the lens of health, I think of it this way, in mindset, movement, and food freedom. And picking just one area that will help support your habit identity for this season of life that you're in. So like I said, maybe we're using the reference of movement because we're like, okay, this time of year, you know, it's nice out. I can get out for a walk every day. And I know that helps me feel much more clear-headed. I feel good moving my body and I'm more patient and present with my kids. Okay, great. And just pick one. You see, I didn't say, and we're going to do like meal prep and we're going to do like an hour of meditation. Like, no, that doesn't work for us. That doesn't work for us as women. That's too much.
I love that. So how do you help someone or suggest that they pick just one? Because people come with all of these ideas. Do this, don't do that. It's a new school year, right? Like, how would you coach someone into the one to start with?
Yeah, well, first, again, starting with your habit identity, but thinking about what season of life you're in, right? Because it can change. And that's kind of where we fall short as women. Like maybe we find something that's working really great for us. And then, oh, it's back to school. Routines are crazy. I'm mom Ubering all over the place. This isn't working out for me anymore. So then we do nothing, right? We do nothing because again, we'll put ourselves last. So it's thinking about, well, what's going to serve me in this season of my life? So maybe it is like, you know, every evening your kids, the activities are just going full blast. And you're like, you know, I find myself going through the drive-thru a lot or stressing out about dinner. So maybe this time of year, I really need to focus on like a mini meal prep. That way I'm not stressing out about what we're eating. Like I'm feeling fueled and I'm not feeling stressed out about eating and like overspending, like going through the drive-thru. Like, hey, it's okay if we have to do that sometimes. It's just, you know how it feels if you have to do it every time. So thinking about leaning into what season of life am I in though? And how can that best support me?
I really love that concept because it gives you permission for change. I know that the women that I coach, you know, will tend to sometimes beat themselves up. Oh, I used to wake up at 5 a.m. and work out, and I should do that again. I really need to wake up early and work out. And we talk about how in this season of life, your body needs that extra rest in the morning. So it makes sense as to why that's not working. So what I'm hearing you saying is it's really taking a look at who you are right now, who your family is right now, not who you used to be or not who this ideal image or this person that you compare yourself to on social media is doing it, but what is going to help me right now?
Gosh, we get so caught up in comparing ourselves to past versions of ourselves, don't we? And thinking about, you know, if you are a mom, like what I was doing years ago in 2015, my kids were a lot smaller then. I was getting up and doing like workouts at 5 a.m. by myself, and I wasn't coaching at that time. And now they're older and I go and coach early in the mornings because they can get themselves ready. And we're in a different season of life now. So everything has shifted, but I still have those core fundamental needs where I'm like, okay, how can I create these to be unconscious habits? And I know many women are probably listening like, okay, this sounds great, but when the heck am I going to find time to do any of it? It sounds great. Well, that's the third step, is to really take a step back and look at where is all your time going, doing a time or a habit inventory. We have some available in our shop as a download where you can just download it, write down everything you're doing in a day and how much time that takes you. Or you can just get a pad of paper out and have it by like your desk at work or in your kitchen where you're constantly writing down. It seems like a big task, but you'll notice after a couple of like steady days of like normal schedule for you, wow, there's a lot of time wasters in our day, or there's a lot of times where we're not being very productive because we're trying to multitask, or there's a lot of time just like scrolling social media and really honing in on like, okay, well, if I eliminated, you know, an hour of scrolling social media a day, that would give me, you know, I only need 20 minutes to work out. I can just go hop on my Peloton during my lunch break or like go for a walk around my office building. So really digging deep and finding the facts and the data about where your time is going versus just the subjective things we're telling ourselves, like, I don't have time. I'm just so busy. When you sit back and look at the facts like that, it's like, okay, I can make the time.
I love that, right? We all have all of these stories about time. I know that the moms that I coach too, I was coaching a mom a couple months ago and she was saying, I have no time at night. I have no time for myself. And we spent 10 minutes talking about what she does, what time her kids go to bed, what time she goes to bed. And we looked at the facts and she's like, wow, I actually have an hour and a half of unstructured time. Mm-hmm. Right. But she was just telling herself that she had no time and what she was doing with it. So I love that. Figuring out what are the facts, what is the data? What's actually going on here? Like I call it a time audit, but I love that idea. Time inventory, a habit inventory. Yeah, what am I
totally
doing?
Yeah, sometimes we need facts, not feelings when it comes to stuff like that. And I get that. Like, I know when I feel like crazy busy, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I just don't have time. But you sit back and look at the black and white data, you're like, okay. And it takes a little pressure off yourself and what you're telling, the story you're telling yourself, right?
Yes. Yes. Even in the morning, right? When I coach moms, we talk about, I have enough time. If I'm 5 minutes late, it's okay. This isn't an emergency. And just like you said, it takes the pressure off and just creates such a different experience.
Totally. Oh my gosh. I love that. Well, then after you have, okay, so say we're still using the movement example, Stephanie. Okay. So we identified, okay, movement's going to help me be a patient and present mom. That's the fundamental need. The habit under there is just, I'm going to walk, you know, so many days a week at noon during my lunch break. Well, now we need to create a habit loop, something to actually make us take action. Because it's one thing just in the back of your head to be like, okay, I'm going to walk every day. Okay, let's set up a system. So a habit loop. So a lot of folks have probably heard about this. So it's a cue, routine, reward. I love habit loops, and all of my programming, I provide over 60 different habit loops around mindset, movement, and food freedom just to get people's wheels turning. But you already have a lot of habit loops going on throughout your day, right? You already have a cue to brush your teeth. It's usually like you do something, some type of habit right before that routine is brushing your teeth, the reward on the other side. is, oh, wow, I have good dental hygiene. You can apply the same thing towards, you know, a healthy habit like movement. So say, like I said, we're using movement at your lunch break. So at noon every day, you have a calendar notification come up, ding on your phone, or even just your workout clothes laid out where you can see them, or your bag that you took to work, that, okay, that's my cue. It is time to go move my body. The routine is actually doing the workout, whatever that may be. The reward on the other side is usually the hardest part for clients, is because they're like, well, am I supposed to like go buy myself something, like a new workout outfit? I'm like, if you want to, girl, like go for it. But also, I really want you to think about what the reward is, how you feel on the other side, like really digging deep into like even like noticing that, even tracking that in itself as well, to be like, oh, I feel really good. Like I come back to work and I'm much more patient, or like I notice when my kids get home, like I'm not as frazzled. I feel a lot more calm. That's going to give you more motivation to do the habit on the days where you don't feel like doing the habit. So actually like writing out even on your calendar, creating some visual cues for yourself that it is time to do the habit in order to do the habit will guarantee that you do it.
I think that's so fascinating. And I think when you're thinking about it, I was just in my brain thinking about a reward. So a lot of my clients come to me, right? They want to stop yelling, and I have a system that helps them stop yelling. And it depends, right? Like, so, like they all go at different rates. Everyone ends up being able to be successful at some, right, at some level. You can see the identity, right? They want to be that mom who communicates instead of reacts. They have that value, their identity tied up in it, right? They can see that. That's step one. When you think about the fundamental need, the sturdy base of support, how would you define that there?
For like someone that finds themselves yelling a lot or impatient. Yeah. I think for that, I think it's a step back and looking into like mindset. Like why do I feel this way? Is it because I'm not being proactive with my own care? You know, I think as moms, we are pulled in so many different directions and we're overstimulated, and there's a lot of triggers that happen in our day. And sometimes there's a habit loop that maybe it's an unhealthy habit loop that is causing you to yell at your kids. And, you know, you get to the point where you're just boiling up and it just boils over. So I would take a step back and look at your mindset and think about, okay, well, am I coming from a place where I'm always like feeling guilty and shaming myself for yelling at my kids all the time? Do I really need to step back and be like, well, I don't want to feel this way. What is maybe a habit loop already happening? Maybe it's, you know, a messy room, and, or maybe it's toys all over your living room and you are constantly asking your child if it's age appropriate to clean up and they never do. And you get to the point where it's just like, you're constantly doing that. And maybe it's a step back and thinking, okay, maybe the cue is, instead of yelling at my kids, I need to step back and communicate with them how it makes me feel that they don't listen to me, or, you know, give them a different way of communicating that they need to pick up their toys, or setting up some new routine with them as well. So kind of really leaning into how that makes you feel and kind of looking and thinking, well, maybe I already have some habit loops that are unhealthy, and replacing it with a healthier habit loop instead.
I love how you say that too, right? There are so many reasons why, I mean, myself and my clients and you, that we react, right? It could be this guilt or shame that we're already feeling. It could be multitasking. It could be, right, that we're tired. We haven't slept. Or it could be an email we got from our boss hours ago, right? It could be so many things. So when you think about, and I'm thinking through this as I'm talking to you, the reward would be on the other end of that, when they can see that messy room, respond to their kids differently, right? Make that a routine. The reward would be feeling good after, feeling more connected to their kids versus that guilt or shame, which then motivates them to continue that new loop. Do I have that right?
Exactly. Yes.
And I really love that, because I'm thinking about myself again, a client who it was a month or two ago, and she was talking about how she feels really guilty on the weekends not being with her family, right? She works full time. Mm-hmm. She's like, we should all spend family time together every weekend. And she would just be a little bit like more reactive, more, you know, less connected. So we talked about her just doing it one time, finding evidence, seeing what happens if her husband took the kids to soccer and she stayed home and did something that she wanted to do. And what she found is that afterwards she felt more connected, right? She actually had more energy. That hour to herself actually allowed her to get the result that she wanted, which is more connection. So in that case, is that like the reward? Would the cue would be soccer or family time on the weekend, switching up that routine and then having the reward?
Yeah, exactly. And she, in that example, like she took some, it was kind of like an experiment, right? She was proactive and then she really leaned into, oh my gosh, I feel so much better because of this. And that will motivate you to do it more or to, you know, if you do end up going like maybe the next week and she does go to the soccer practice and she's like, well, I feel a little bit more not so reactive because I did take some time for myself. And an hour may seem like huge, but it's actually a tiny part of your day if you break it down, and it can add up to being more present and patient throughout the rest of your day.
Yes. I would love to hear this from you, because I know in my practice, I experience this. Moms who feel a little bit like once they've established this habit or started doing this new thing, feeling like they fell off the wagon, right? Feeling like, hey, I did this and now I'm not doing it anymore. And I'm not following my plan. I'm not following your direction, like that type of thing. I use air quotes, falling off the wagon.
I hear that a lot too. So when we have someone come through, we have an accelerator program, which really digs deep into those three fundamental needs, creating custom habit loops and tracking it over time, which is the fifth step. So tracking what you're doing and then eventually stacking more habits after that. So I think tracking, again, using some type of habit tracker, we have a digital one, we have printable ones as well, gives you data again to look at that and be like, oh, well, I did do that more than I thought I did. You know, well, whatever, I missed 2 or 3 days, but look what I did do. It gives you data again, but gives you confidence and helps you build some momentum. But also it gives you data too, if you're like, wow, I didn't track that at all this week. Maybe the time I was trying to do that just is not a great time for me. Maybe I need to experiment and do it a different time. Or maybe I just thought I should have been doing A, B, C, and that's really not part of my habit identity. So I need to create a different habit instead. So doing something like tracking, which is the fifth step, will really give you some good quality data as far as what's working and what's not, and give yourself a little bit of grace too when we start, you know, shooting ourselves or being like, oh, I fell off the wagon. When you look at the actual data, you're like, oh, well, I actually did a little better than I thought.
Yes, I did. Right. Because of our brain's negativity bias, right? We point out the times that we didn't do something or that this thing is going wrong, and we don't really recognize all the times that it's going right or the times that we have done it. And what I love about the tracking, what you're saying is it takes like the shame or self-judgment out of it. It's sort of like it sounds like a detective or a scientist, and you're just looking at the data. You're just seeing this is what's happening. There's no judgment or shame to it.
Exactly.
Is the fifth step, was that the
tracking and then eventually stacking? So, you know, so say you follow this process, you're like tracking this habit, you're looking at the habit loop, you're like, I'm feeling really good on the other side. Say give it about 21 days ish or so. And you're like, well, now I'm ready to stack something else. You know, if we're using that movement example still, it's like, well, maybe I want to do a little bit more, you know, gratitude work every day. And you start the system over again. My goal is for our clients to get to learn this system and not even have to like think about it. That becomes an unconscious habit in itself as well. That's why we do it live every quarter. Cause I feel like, you know, you go through different seasons of your life. You need to reevaluate what's working, what's not, kind of think about it and not just kind of willy-nilly, you know, pray that it all works out, like have an actual system and make it work.
I love that. So what would you say to the mom who's listening, who just feels like she has a lot going on right now and wants to try some of this, wants to do some healthy habits, but just feels like another thing or more overwhelming? What can she walk away with that is like super simple? I call this a 5-minute shift, my podcast, because it's like simple, like, you know, implementable things. What can she walk away with that will give her like sort of an instantaneous like win?
Yeah. Stop making it so complicated. make it so insanely easy and tiny for yourself, because that's going to be like little drops in your confidence bucket for you. So say it, you know, going back to the movement example, and you're like, yeah, going for a walk sounds great, but I don't even have like a half an hour to do that. Like, okay, I get it. Like, walk like two laps around your office for 5 minutes. Like, oh, go do like 5 push-ups if you're in the safety of your own home. That feels a lot easier. And that almost triggers your brain to be like, okay, I am doing something. I'm doing something based on what my capacity is today. And what that, like I said, is going to do is give you more and more drops in that confidence bucket and allow you to eventually be like, well, what else can I do? Maybe I can allow a little more time for this or a little bit more time for that. And eventually you'll get to the point where, you know, like I want my clients to get to a point where they don't have to track a new habit anymore because they're just doing it. They're just living it, right? This is a really great system to follow when you're trying to establish new habits in a new season of life, for example. Like movement for me, it's been like an 8-year process. It is an unconscious habit. I don't have to create habit loops or track. I just unconsciously do it now and have visual cues. I'm a big visual cue person. I think it's a little ADHD tendencies in me personally. But it's just something I've learned over time that you kind of lean into. And then eventually when you have that new season of life come in or life throws you for a loop, if you can do a little something that's so microscopically tiny, that's better than nothing. Losing that all or nothing mentality, do something versus nothing.
I'm a huge fan of simplicity. And I love that, giving yourself that tiny win, that tiny, I did this, this is what's working for me right now. I think that's incredible.
Absolutely.
I could talk to you for like another like hour about this. I love this whole idea, but tell everyone where they can find you, how they could get started on this, all the things about you.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you so much for having me on this show, Stephanie. It's so great seeing you again. You can listen to Habit Hack Your Health on any of your favorite podcast streaming services. And like I said, I'll get you a link to go take the Healthy Habit Reset. It's a free masterclass you can take at any time to really dig a little bit deeper into the system. And it includes a free workbook with it with some prompts to help you walk through the system and really dig deep into what you need right now and to start habit hacking your health.
Awesome. And I will link that all in the show notes too for everybody. It was awesome chatting with you.
Same. Thank you.
Okay. So if you want to take this all a step further and gain insights that are specific to you and your family, that's exactly what I do with my one-on-one mom coaching clients. You can sign up for a complimentary consult call to learn how coaching can help you and your family. Go to StephanieRCoaching.com/consult to sign up.